Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
And good Saturday morning to you, and good luck to all those Utes that are going to be hunting the special early duck season for youths and veterans in our West Zone in Louisiana. We're going to take you to a duck blind and get some of the action a little bit later on after the legal shooting hours, 1/2 hour before sunrise. And if you're headed out to the blind and you're going to be hunting with a youth, give us a little text. Let us know how your hunt is going. 504-260-1870. It's a real-time text line. Comes directly here to the studio. Well, pogies, pogey, pogey. If you had any marinas or camps or on social media around the fishing sites this week, that's all the talk was about. And I personally suffered through a 2.5 hour discussion at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting on Thursday. The result of the Menhaden Industries request to close in on the Louisiana coast. And the results, not favorable if you're a saltwater recreational fisherman. I'll tell you what was said, what the vote was, and where it's headed from here. Also going to tell you what my take on the commission action was. I broke it down into three different aspects of this story: economics, science, and politics. It has all of those ingredients. Well, if you were there, or you took in the Zoom as I did, or if you've picked up some information, you've learned about it from other sources, we'd like to hear from you. What is your takeaway on the commission's action on the pogey boat industry's request to move the 1/2 mile buffer into a 1/4 mile, allowing them to fish in closer waters? And if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd love to include it along with your comments and questions and the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time to the studio at that text line, 504-260-1870. Got a special event coming up for you golfers, which I am not, but you may be, and you might be interested in participating in that. Today, it's one of those not-so-frequent occasions when we have a bad girl of the outdoor story, as she and her bad boyfriend had a bad, bad deer night. We'll tell you about that story and taking a look at your weather forecast if you're headed out into it. Be careful, going to be a little bit of fog over there. We're broadcasting today from our St. Hubert's Annex studios in Baldwin County, Alabama, and it's a little bit foggy here. Very light winds if you need to get out there and maybe do the last-minute red snapper fishing offshore. I'm really surprised the season is still open, but it's going to be closed at some point soon. All right, here's your forecast. If you headed offshore, southwest winds 8 to 15 knots, 1 to 2 foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays, southwesterly winds 6 to 12 knots. Pretty much calm conditions at the moment all across the coast. Tomorrow, different story. A front's going to be blowing through. Winds will switch around to the northwest, 10 to 18, 2 to 3 foot seas. And on the interior lakes and bays, there'll be about an 8 to 15 knot wind, again, out of the northwest. Lots of water moving. The tide range, 1.4 on the tide range. Mississippi River is low at 1.9. So there it is. Those are your conditions. If you're going to be hunting, we've got some hunting seasons open, even more each and every week. Youth season and veteran season for the western zone of Louisiana. Regular season opens up next week, and then the youth season and veterans will be next week for the east zone of Louisiana. All right, stage is set. We want to hear your comments, your reports, anything you've got to add to the program. We love to hear from our audience. Use our text line, 504-260-187. Remember, never text and drive. Let a designated driver or a designated texter do that part of the work. All right, we're back right after this 3-minute pause where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the owner of Campos Marina, Robbie Campo, is out on a hunting trip. And this morning, filling in once again is Glenn Sanchez, former owner of the Breton Sound Marina and a longtime fisherman down in that St. Bernard Parish area. What we're going to do this morning with each of our field reporters, we're going to ask them to give us their takeaway on this pokey boat situation, because it's been the talk across social media and in camps and marinas and docks all across the state. A lot of comments in favor and a lot of comments opposed. And where do you stand? Love to hear from you, your individuals, too, at 504-260-187. Let's bring in Glenn Sanchez, pinch hitting for Robbie Campo. Glenn, you want to talk fishing report first, or you want to talk pokey boats? We have Glenn.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. Maybe we can get Glenn to fix up whatever problem he's got there in the meantime. All right. As soon as we get Glenn, we'll get back to him. But I do have some early morning texts coming in. Let's see what we got here. We've got Donnie Sampson checking in. He is the one hunting with Mike Smith this morning over there at Louisiana Duck Hunts for Youth Day with his son, John. Fog is thick. And we'll be checking in with them a little bit later on in the blind and see how they do. Sometimes fog can work against you on a duck hunt, and Sometimes it can help. And let's see if we got Glenn now. Glenn Sanchez, you there? Still nothing on Glenn, so we're going to work on that. A little bit of what they call a technical difficulty. All right, another duck hunter checking in. Roland Cortez, great duck hunting guide. Great goose caller, too, by the way. Says ducks are starting to show up in good numbers. Give us more details, Roland. Where are you looking at those ducks? Because I know you hunt so many different places from Louisiana up to Arkansas. So check back with us and let us know where the ducks are starting to come in. And, boy, hopefully this big new front that's coming in is going to bring in a whole new crop of ducks. From what I'm hearing, the teal, which teal season's come and gone, but the teal have really descended on Louisiana marshes, and hopefully they'll be followed by some of the other bigger duck species. All right, here's one. I'm on the road headed to Shreveport. Large group of Chappelle fans. That would be Archbishop Chappelle, fans of the volleyball team. They're at the playoff time. It's also football playoff time. I was at a football playoff last night, St. Michael's, in here in around the Daphne area. We're playing, and boy, they rolled over Pike County. I think the final score was like 48-14. But great time of the year. By the way, my super nephew sportsman, Drew, who has won Fish of the Year, Hunt of the Year, at the ripe old age of 15. He's in Point Lahasse this morning, expecting to get a quick limit of teal. Well, shoot straight and hope you see some birds in that fog. Let's see if we got Glenn back with us now. Glenn, you there?
I think so. I've been here. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. We ain't gone nowhere. We had some kind of problem between the lines. I thought maybe the gremlins were working on us there.
I don't know. I said pokey boat captain's doing that to us.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on what happened there, moving that buffer zone from one half to a quarter mile? Of course, it's not over yet. I'm sure it's going to go to legislation, but the commission voted to do that.
I wish they'd get rid of those pokey boats completely. I mean, when you look at how much bait they take out of this sound, which feeds everything in the Gulf, it's unbelievable, you know? I mean, they don't have mullets in the marsh like they used to years ago before they had the pokey boats. You know, I mean, you go across the causeway or the twin span, they had rafts and rafts of mullets. You don't see that anymore. It's because of the pokey boats.
You know, I'm starting to believe, and I mean, I don't have any scientific data to back it up, but there is empirical evidence. If you look at the numbers of bycatch of white trout and croakers that those menhaden purslanes take, and then you look at, you know, when they started stepping up their business, and now we no longer have any sizable croakers or white trout. And the reason may be that catching them before they have time to get to escape and get bigger. It could be another factor that I've been really overlooking. But, you know, as far as the red drum, they got numbers they were using. There was a study that was done, and the study says, well, they're well under the bycatch. But I'm going to get into some details that can be a little tricky to understand about the ratio of bycatch versus the total amount of bycatch. And I think that was kind of overlooked and maybe missed by some of those commissioners who voted in favor of it. But that's where it stands now, and certainly it's not over yet. Well, let's talk a little bit of fishing before your time runs out. I know we had some windy conditions this week, but that is not a problem this morning, huh?
No, it's not even a problem this time of year because you can go find a place to hide in the marsh, put the wind to your back, and just keep fishing. It's not like in the summertime when you're in open water, you know? I mean, look, today's the 8th of November. I done fished 7 times in November, Don. It's been wonderful. And I fished through those windy days, and you just, like I said, put the wind to your back, get in a tight spot, get some water coming around a point, have at it. They got
I got some reports of Lena was one of the hot spots this week. Some people picked up limits of redfish in there pretty easily.
Everywhere I've fished, and I've fished, you know, I live on the Hopedale side. I fished on that side a couple of times. I fished in the Biloxi Marsh a couple of times. I fished back a Lena once. And I caught fish every spot I went. And there's so many little fish in the water, it's incredible. I just hope we don't have any kind of freeze to hurt them. But there's plenty of little fish.
That's some really good news. How about the bait situation down there? Lots of live shrimp if people want to use them?
Lots of live shrimp. Live shrimp information. Anything you need at Campos, you can get.
Very good. When Robbie's going to be back next week, I would think, huh?
Yes. Lucky I came over here yesterday because I asked them, when Robbie coming back? They said next week. I said, he didn't tell me that I had to do the show twice. And you know,
well, Robbie's
week,
been out of touch. Go ahead.
You asked me if I seen any ducks last week. I tell you, I hadn't seen a duck. I went out last Saturday. I must have saw 300 or 400 ducks last Saturday. I said, look at that.
Oh, that might be good news. Anybody hunting in the Biloxi Marsh this morning might have a good shot. Well, got to be careful with that fog. How's the fog look right now where you are?
Actually, it's clear down here, believe it or not. It's absolutely clear. None whatsoever.
Well, good. You know? That must be one of those things. Maybe on the open water areas is where it is, and up in the marshes, it's not out there yet. So, anyway, that's good news. And, well, always good to talk to you, Glenn. And I hope you fish a little few. You're not fishing enough. You know, you only fish 7 days, and, you know, here we are on the second week of November. You've got to get out more.
Yeah, and the sun's not up yet.
Have a good time, Glenn, and thanks for filling in
for Robbie.
We appreciate it.
No problem. Everybody stay safe.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's coming up. And there he goes, Glenn Sanchez. A little bit of a delayed report, but always a good one with him. All right, we come back. I'm starting to get some comments in on the Pogge situation, and I'll tell you what my takeaway from that commission meeting was and the action that they took and why I think they did and where it's going to go from here. All that's coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, a large portion of the time on this program is going to be dedicated to the menhaden industry issue, and it's very important, it's very controversial, and at the risk of boring some of you who have been following this for years, I'm going to kind of give you an overview, a little bit of history of where it is, where it's going. The menhaden industry is consists of some out-of-state and out-of-country-owned commercial fishing operations. They use spotter planes, motherships with attached skiffs that use a purse seine net, and they encircle massive schools of pogies, and in the process, they catch a huge quantity and a wide variety of other valuable species, and they call that bycatch. Some of those are live release, but huge numbers are also killed in the process. Now, as you can expect, there's enormous opposition to the industry when it operates in near-shore coastal waters, dead fish floating, washing up on beaches, and in response, two of our neighboring states, Florida and Alabama, have total bans on it. They just don't allow it at all in their state waters. The state of Mississippi bans it for 1 mile from its coast, and that would include out from its barrier islands. Texas has it banned a half mile from most of its coast, a full mile from jetties and passes, and it has a total catch limit of 1.5 million pounds. That's very important. Once they reach that quota, it shuts down. Now, Louisiana reached a compromise deal just last year to ban it a half mile from the coast, except 1 mile from Holly Beach, 3 miles from Grand Isle, and no limit on the total catch. Sweetheart deal from Louisiana? Well, they were not happy, and this commission meeting this week, the industry appeared asking for more liberal fishing regulations where they could come within 1/4 mile of the shoreline. Here was my takeaway of it. I think it involved three different aspects. Number one, the economics. The industry reps that were there testified before the commission. They argued that they needed to increase profits, which a shift from 1/2 mile to 1/4 mile would do through becoming more efficient. It was their only argument, money. No mention of this move would improve population status or provide protection for any finfish, shellfish, or marine mammal species. Money was the one and only argument they made, saying they would lose about 15 to 25% profits without the buffer reduction. However, evidence shows that although they haven't officially reported, this past year may have been their biggest year, if not one of the biggest. It also involved science. There was a study called LGL. Scott Rayburn appeared and testified. And they questioned him, the commissioners did, but they allowed him to avoid the question if the closer buffer would increase bycatch. He would say that the bycatch ratio, in other words, the amount of bycatch per effort, would not change. But another speaker, pretty sharp guy, Stephen Babcock, he picked up on it and said something the biologists would not say, that if the total catch increases, even at the same ratio, total bycatch has to increase. Now, the biologist Raven did admit that once you get out after 22-foot depths and deeper, the bycatch falls off drastically. Now, another speaker in favor of the proposal quoted one of the most revered marine biologists at Mississippi State University, found that red drum stomach contests indicated pogies were not a main diet staple. But he failed to mention that those results were from an Atlantic Ocean study and not the Gulf of America, making that kind of a moot point. It was also politics. That's my third takeaway from it. Representative Joe Ogeron, you might remember, he came on this show last year when he introduced legislation that brought about a compromise. He was disappointed, if not outraged, that after the handshake deal that was made between the recreationals and the menhaden industry, now the industry has decided to back out of that agreement. Which begs my next question. If they approve this, what they're going to be asking for next? Come up on the shoreline? How much politics were directed at the individual commissioners who voted is unknown, but any of their votes could have been influenced by the governor who appointed them, or not at all, and they acted truly upon their conscience. And that's up to the public to decide for themselves. I did contact Governor Landry's media people yesterday, ask him if he would come on. There's been a lot of discussion about his support for this or his non-support for it. How involved is he? Did he direct some of the commissioners to vote a certain way? I did not. So far, I have not heard back from them asking for either his appearance or a statement, just a statement on his position on this issue. Possibly we'll hear from it next week. In all fairness, it was late on a Friday afternoon when I finally got a hold of someone, and they have not responded yet. But that's not to say we won't hear from it next week, so stay tuned. All right, right after this break, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you how the seven unelected appointed commissioners voted and their reasons for doing so. We'll have that, and your comments are coming in. Get them in at 504-260-1870. That's our in-studio text line where you'll hear it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, this morning we're talking about this controversial pokey boat issue. They have petitioned the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, successfully, I might add, to do away with the one-half-mile buffer, which was compromised last year, and move it where they're allowed to operate within 1/4 mile of the shore, closer in, where the opponents argue there is much more chance of the bycatch being caught. I'm talking about red drum, speckled trout, white trout, tarpon, mackerel. The list goes on and on. Even shrimp are caught in these nets. They have some devices and methods to try to live release as much as they can, but the amount of bycatch taken by these boats is very huge, and a lot of times you can see that in what ends up washing up on beaches and shore and gets people upset, and they start contacting the department and their legislators, and it's finally come to a head. The industry says they need to do this because they're losing money. They need to make more money. Nothing was said about this would further protect marine resources, further protect the coastal restoration projects, because when these big boats, these ships really get into water less than 5 feet deep, they start turning up silt and sand, and I've got actual video of an area where they were working and actually destroying part of a coastal restoration project. It wasn't much earlier before when there was an operation to pump and dredge and fill, and here they are churning it up and suspending it and destroying what very, very valuable work and money has been put into restoring the coast. So there's a lot of downside to it, and the upside is, well, you know, what's going to happen with it? Anyway, we've got some comments coming in. I'm also going to tell you how the commissioners, each and every one of them, how they voted and what their comment, why they did that as they did. But first, we got to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, some of our listener comments. This one says, morning, Don. The backstrap stacker up in Clark County, Alabama, putting some finishing touches on a new stand. You are not alone. A lot of people are out there working on their stands, getting ready for those gun seasons. Next week is Youth Deer Weekend, and they will be ready. Everyone have a great day. We got our friend the Wingbone. He's putting some finishing touches on a wing. He works Saturday mornings. He does those beautiful turkey wingbone calls, very unique products. If you want to take a look at it, maybe get one for someone for Christmas, text me, and I can put you in touch with old Wingbone. All right, here's one that says, it sure sounds as though there's been a lot of contributions made by the Menhaden industry to obtain access to shoreline waters. Only in Louisiana, stop the corruption now. Louisiana politics as usual. That's from Old Man Sam. Here's one Baton Rouge listener. Going fishing for the first time with my dad. That's from Brooksy. Well, good luck to you, Brooksy. Don't forget to let us know how that fishing trip goes. I hope you catch a limit or a big one or whatever you're pursuing. Here's one that from our buddy Captain Robin. Let's see. In a way, it really doesn't matter because they were already fishing in the restricted areas anyway. Just as we thought, they had bought/rented enough Louisiana politicians to keep their operations running smoothly, and Landry is a major ally. Well, I'm not sure if he is or not. There are some appearances that it could be. Of course, he appointed some of the commissioners out of there. Some of them are still, I believe, left over from the last governor, Governor Edwards' administration. But that's how they get there. And that brings up an interesting question. I've always felt that that is such an important position. I thought that this should be elected to those positions and not appointed because they're not accountable. I mean, you can't threaten to unelect them, you know, which supposedly the theory is that that gives them complete being unbiased because they're not concerned about pressure from the public and they do what their conscience says. But there's some conflicts going on, and I'm going to bring up some of those, and they're pretty interesting, some of them. And some of the people who gave testimony at the commission meeting this week also talked about that. All right, Backstrap Stacker's back with us again. He says St. Michael's coach is Philip Rivers. He's the Sun's quarterback. Anyway, his son is the quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback. Yeah, I've watched him in several games. His name is Gunnar Rivers, and he's a chip off the old block. Phil Rivers, of course, ex-NFL quarterback who was up for the Hall of Fame, and I think eventually he's going to get in. He wasn't voted in his first try this year, but he's a great coach. And his son, Gunnar Rivers, he's got a great future ahead. He can throw that ball. And he also asks, what does the state of Louisiana get from the pogie industry? What's the return for the state? Seems like there's not much benefit in allowing it. There is no environmental benefit to this petition whatsoever. No, there's not. It's strictly economic on the part of the industry. And the state of Louisiana, there's an operation out of Mississippi. I think it's around Moss Point. And it actually sends its boats into Louisiana waters because that's where the pogies are and that's where they're allowed to get close to the shore. Your state of Alabama doesn't allow it at all. And I need to talk to the director of marine fisheries with Alabama and find out why they've chose to completely ban it. Florida does the same thing. Mississippi, full mile off the coast anywhere, including its outer islands. So Louisiana, what do we get? Well, there's some jobs. Certainly there's people who are employed, and they make pretty good money, the captains and crews. But for the most part, the profit goes out of state and out of the country. They are making some contributions, and I feel like a small way for what they take out. But that's pretty much it. That's the situation we're in. Let's see. We got some more texts coming in. I'll get to those right after this break. In fact, when I come back, I'm going to run down the commission vote, how it went down, who voted what and how, right, and why, right after this timeout where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, this week we're talking about a hot potato. You might say a hot pogie. The Menhaden issue, was covered at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries monthly commission meeting. There was a vote that was taken to move the buffer zone from 1/2 mile off the shore of Louisiana for most of the coast to 1/4 mile. And here's how the 7 unelected appointed commissioners voted and why. Commissioner Gene Reynolds said his vote was based due to the overwhelming negative comments he received from the public, and he voted no. Commissioner Nathan Wall, who seconded the motion and vehemently denied the accusation that his vote was based on personally saving money in his alligator business, since without the new buffer zone, the cost of the pogie-based feed would rise. In either case, he voted in favor. And I feel like he's bound by an ethical commitment to abstain from any real or perceived conflict of interest, which, my opinion, this is clearly a conflict of interest. And I think he should have abstained for the vote. It may be challenged in court, but he voted yes, but that could be challenged. And that brought the vote to 1-1. Commissioner Jimmy Martin didn't say much, just said he saw no problem whatsoever, and he voted yes, making it 2-1 in favor. Commissioner Andy Brister from North Louisiana said he believed they should form a task force to further study and discuss the issue to reach an agreement from all sides that should be formed, and he voted no, making it a 2-2 tie. Commissioner Andrew Blanchard, now he was a little bit confusing to me. He said he thought the industry must develop better excluding devices to reduce the bycatch, but not anytime soon, I guess, because without them or any mandates to develop them in the resolution, he voted yes, which made it 3-2 in favor of it. Then Commissioner Jonathan Walker said he received what he called overwhelming comments. He got a total of 874. And let me tell you, written comments numbering 874 on any issue is a lot. And because of that, he voted no, making the vote knotted a 3-3 tie. Now, the commission voting rules state that in the case of a tie, the commission chairman will vote, and his vote will break the tie. And with little explanation, Chairman Kevin Segrera, yes vote, the proposal passed in favor of the Menhaden industry by 4-3. Again, we're asking for your takeaway. If you were there, if you viewed it in line, what did you see? We're asking our field reporters to comment on that. We'll get Daryl Carpenter's comments. We also have Mike Gallo and our panelists report with Butch Ridgedale and Ryan Lambert. They'll all chime in on it. We'd love to hear from you at 504-260-1870. Let me get to some of your text messages. And by the way, we do have a lot of people going fishing and some hunting this morning. Okay, this is Brooksy's dad taking her fishing for the first time. It's like I'm getting up this early. That's from Kyle. You and Brooksy are going to have a great time, Kyle. Great time. Way to share it with your daughter. All right, here we go. If the pogey boat companies are a reason for requesting a shorter range to harvest pogies is money, the next question is whose palms are being greased? There is no environment benefit to this petition whatsoever. That's from an unnamed texter. And Sam says Governor Landry is setting himself up to be a one-term governor. And here's one from Beaticoat Tommy. Hadn't heard from him in a while. Good morning, Beaticoat Tommy. He's making his way through the fog on his way out to Missouri. What you doing in Missouri? You going up to hunt some of that flooded cornfield or do some visiting? Let us know. 504-260-1870. What are your thoughts on this issue for the pokey boats to be allowed to come in a quarter mile? You know, CCA put out kind of a post message. If you were tuned in last week, we heard from the director, Rad Trasher. He testified. We also had some other members of CCA that stepped up to the microphone. Here's what he says in his message, if you haven't seen it. Here's what's going to happen next. Once this is published, we're talking about this notice of intent that was passed, they're going to allow more public comment. It'll reopen on December the 19th and end on January 23rd, right during holiday season, which probably will distract a lot of people from commenting. Then there'll be an opportunity for additional comments during the 30-day oversight period. And if there's no further action taken after those comment periods, then the NOI becomes official, and they will be allowed to fish closer in on March 20th of next year. And they are asking to do what a lot of you did, show up at the meetings, talk to your local legislators, your civic leaders, and voice your opinion on where you stand on this very, very important issue. All right, we come back after this. We'll find out what Daryl Carpenter thinks about the pogey boat issue and also get a fishing report from the Grand Isle area from him right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, got a lot more comments on the pogey issue coming in. Don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them, but one we're going to definitely get to is Captain Daryl Carpenter's opinion. He is the operator of RealScreamers.com down in Grand Isle, Louisiana. And, Daryl, you want to talk about your fishing report or your pogey issue first of all?
Let's do the fishing first, Don. Before you get mad, you got to hit the daggum.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
And you got to hit the cough button.
Well,
so, but no,
tell
no,
us about
I mean,
it.
We're starting to see, you know, we talked about transition for a while, and we're starting to see that transition come to completion, if you will. Or we're starting to get a whole lot of good reports coming out of the Northern Marsh, where instead of you catching a few speckled trout here, a few speckled trout there, you know, because they're in transition, those trout are now made their transition and they're starting to stack up. So you're not going to find them on every point in every marsh. You're not, you know, not everybody's going to find them. But if you hunt around long enough, you're starting to find these, you know, you're starting to find one or two stops now. One-stop shop, if you sit on the right school, you got your 15 trout and you're done. And so far, the size is holding good. I'd really like to hear myself and everybody else complaining about too many small trout, because that would mean a good year next year. But so far, the trout have all been running good. And, you know, if you hunt around long enough and look in them reefs, you know, we're talking all the way up by Mud Lake and places like that, north of what we normally hit in Grand Isle. But if you're willing to travel, they're starting to find a lot of trout up there. And of course, if not, the white trout are still thick. And like we talked last week, the sheephead are starting to gang up. And, you know, so, I mean, if nothing else, bring you some shrimp, and you can always go to white trout and sheephead to finish up your trip and make it, you know, make it profitable and worthwhile for you. And look, don't forget too, that if you run a little bit low on bait, remember white trout, you don't need a whole lot of, I mean, plastic and, or, you know, the first one you catch, that's only 5 or 6 inches long, break out the cutting board and start cutting them up, because they'll eat each other. A small piece of cut bait will fill the boat full of white trout. So
yeah, they have good taste. Kinda, they eat white trout too, yeah, just like we do.
Yep. That's kind of the condensed fishing report, because what little bit of time we got left, you know, one of the things that struck me the most on is, you know, it has for the last several years, is the makeup of that commission. And it comes back to you being appointed, you know, to being appointed by the governor, and it comes back to where there's no litmus test to being appointed by the governor. Mr. Blanchard's comment solidified that. Mr. Blanchard, according to the tick sheets, was the only swing vote that everybody was trying to sway with their comments. And a simple email from, you know, from his testimony, a simple email changed that.
an email from quote unquote the group that he represents, being the commercial shrimpers. If they're representing groups, where's the recreational representation? We haven't had solidified recreational representation on that commission in many, many years. And if
they're bound by the makeup. Right. There's some rules in the commission of some of them have to represent or be representative of certain industries, but that also has a statement right. that they swear when they're sworn in that if there's any conflict of interest that they will abstain from voting. And there are two of them, Andrew Blanchard being one, because he just flat out came and said, I'm supporting them, what they say. And Nathan Wall was the other, and he said he was voting his own conscience, not on behalf of the alligator industry, but he is a part of that, and he stands to lose money if this thing did not pass. So whether it's real or perceived, I think both of them should have abstained from the vote.
No, I understand. I understand that argument also. But my question is, if you're representing the group and not the resource, because that was Mr. Blanchard's comment. I got an email right. from the Shrimp Association that they, you know, if you're representing the group instead of the resource, where's our representation?
Yeah. And he even admitted that he thought they should come up with better excluding devices to reduce the
correct.
Bycatch. You know, so he had a reason to oppose it, but he didn't. He followed the lead of the organization that gave him direction.
I think in the long run, we just got to keep the anger up and keep the interest up, because I think in the long run, the pogie industry just cost themselves a whole lot of money, because what they're going to see come out of this legislative session, and get your finger on the cough button if it's not allowed, the number of people they have pissed
yep,
off.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a very good possibility that they could be killing the goose that laid the golden egg. You know, they've got a lot of freedom and take a lot of profit out of Louisiana waters, where the other states just completely shut them down. And I think to push their luck on this may have been a mistake on their part, but maybe not. We'll see.
They're fixing to spend a lot of money on lobbyists to fight a lot of paper that's fixing to come out of this Capitol. Now, where the governor, you know, where Tiny Tim, you know, where he falls on it, what swing he's going to have on it, but there's going to be a lot of paper filed come March, I promise you.
Well, he may just say that, you know, well, those I'll leave it up to my commissioners to do whatever job they think is best, or he may state his actual opinion in support or opposition, but we don't know, and I'm trying to get an answer out of him, and hopefully we can have that by next week, either in person or at least issue us a statement, because there's a lot of stuff flying around on the Internet about he's behind the whole thing and he's making money and this kind of thing, and just want to clear the air, get what's true out there.
He's still, it's going to take months, if not years, for him to get that smell off of him from that LSU incident. But, you know, I just don't know. You know, I don't know why you got to micromanage everything, but I guess that's some people's personality, you know.
All right. All right. Good report, Darryl. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Good luck fishing, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Have a good morning, Don.
All righty, Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. That's where you'll find him. All right, when we come back for the second hour, we're going to start off with some more fishing reports. We'll get some more opinions from you, the listeners, via our text board. And we'll also talk to our field reporters, their thoughts on both the fishing this weekend and this pogie boat issue. And we've got a bad boy segment and a bad girl all coming up on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Here's what we got going on this morning. I'm broadcasting here from our St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex, our location in Baldwin County, Alabama, where it's kind of foggy and still. It's a great time of the year we're getting into, getting close to the holidays. The hunting seasons are open. You got that decision, that tough decision to make. Do I go fishing? Do I go hunting? Freshwater, saltwater, offshore, it's all going on right now. And we're also talking about this very important pogie boat issue. The menhaden industry successfully petitioned the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission to allow them to move their operation into within a quarter mile of the shoreline instead of the half mile, which they agreed to last year, kind of backing out on it. I gave you my takeaways, how the commission has voted. I would love to hear from you. What do you think about it? 504-260-1870 is our text line if you want to participate in the program. Also, we're going to be asking some of our field reporters their thoughts on the pogie boat issue, where it's headed, and how they think that the commission handled it. A couple things I want to add to my takeaways. One was the industry itself, some of the people who work on the boats, make their living doing it, appeared and gave testimony, and, you know, understand that they earn their living that way, but they've got to understand, and a lot of you can identify with the same thing I can. Some of our industries, our careers, either are altered or go away because of changes in technology and environment and other factors. This career that I've chosen has taken a big hit. Let me tell you, the graveyard is full of outdoor writers, photographers. That's all gone away. People who made good livings are taking photographs and writing magazine articles, newspaper articles, and I did a lot of that. And I know a lot of my friends lost their jobs and left the industry because of that. I've managed to modify my operations and survived all these 40 years, some 40 years now, 36 years of it doing this radio network, is simply because I've had to adjust. And, you know, jobs come and go. You can point them out. And a lot of you listening to me probably have experienced the same thing. And that may be where the pogie boat industry is headed. Not to eliminate it, but it might have to be curtailed and move further out. And maybe they won't have as many jobs. Maybe they'll have more. I don't know. But the other thing that I took away was one of the people that testified, and I didn't get his full name, but he made a statement that stuck with me. And, you know, the recreation industry says that their industry is worth $3.1 billion in Louisiana. That's a lot of money for fishing, motors, and gear, and equipment, and bait, and rental fee, and all the money that piles up. But this gentleman stood up to the microphone, and he said his value in getting out there and being able to catch redfish on a fly rod was therapy for him. It cleared his mind. He got away from it. And I think that's the way a lot of people feel about it. And, you know, how do you put a price on that? What is the price of personal satisfaction? And like we just had the gentleman, Kyle, and his daughter, Brooksy, going out and being able to catch fish. What is that worth? How do you put a price? You can't put a price tag. It's, as they say, priceless. So some interesting things coming out of this, and again, it begs a question about the makeup of the commission. Should it be changed? Should they be held accountable to the public? Should they just not be appointed by the governor? Should they be elected? What parts of the state should they come from? Should they represent certain user groups as opposed to the general public and the resource itself? The conservation of the resource and the public use of it, that is the goal, and finding that compromise sometime is difficult. All right, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Captain Mike. He was born on the bayou, they say. That's the legend and the lore of Captain Mike Gallo of Angling Adventures of Louisiana, and hopefully he's got a good report for us on his area around Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, the Chef, Biloxi Marsh. He fishes, he has boat, will travel, and he's got lots of info for you coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, if you're thinking, yeah, we're moving into the fall and winter seasons. In fact, we got some areas that are going to be under a freeze warning coming up early this week, so it's here right now. And if you're worried about getting stranded out in some of your favorite places, remote areas, and you think about it, who are you going to call? If you can get someone, how long would it take them to come find you and get you? Well, if you've got a CETO contract, you don't have to worry at all. And believe me, there's a difference in being stranded for long periods of time in the summer as opposed to the winter, especially in cold, windy, rainy conditions. CETO will get you, and for $249 for a whole year, which is renewable, you've got unlimited towing service. They'll come out there and jumpstart you if it's an electrical problem. Even if you run out of fuel, they'll bring that to you. And if they can't get you up and running, they'll pull you back to safety. Don't delay. And look, these make great Christmas gifts, too, for someone. You can sign someone up in addition to yourself. Go to CETO.com. You can get it done. Or call Captain Chris, friendly guy. He's a fisherman himself. He loved to talk fishing as much as tell you a policy. Call him at 504-301-4545 and be safe with CETO. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And Captain Mike, man, everybody's talking about this Menhaden, the pokey boat issue, and I know it affects you guys over there. Your Charter Boat Association was represented, and Richard Fisher gave testimony and was, of course, in opposition to moving in even closer. What are your thoughts? How much problem is the Menhaden industry to you and your fellow charter guides over there in the Slidell, New Orleans East area?
Well, Don, our biggest concern is the bycatch, which are spawning at that time of year. So obviously, we're not seeing the production that we should. You know, we're seeing a reduction in the fish that we harvest simply because those fish are being killed as bycatch and not getting the opportunity to spawn. The other thing that really aggravates me is the pogie industry catches 70% of their catch more than 3 miles offshore. So obviously they know how to do it. Why not do it 100% of the time and everybody's happy?
Yeah. Well, it's an ongoing issue, and we'll follow it through to whatever becomes of it. Switching over to Fishing Report, got a listener wanted me to ask you about Sawmill Pass, the speckled trout bite over there. How's it going? Have you been there or talked to any of your guys?
Several of the captains that work with me have been fishing in Sawmill Pass. There's a few speckled trout, but more white trout. With the water temperatures being, I'm in my boat right now, 67.57, those fish are quite scattered. This cold front that's coming may confine them in deeper areas, but that won't help us today. A popping cork and your favorite plastic or live bait is going to be a great search bait to find fish. Yesterday, I caught the majority of my fish in current lines. I went over to the Biloxi Marsh, just really taking advantage of the great weather. Run over there, nice and quiet. Had a great trip. Caught a good amount of fish. We caught them shrimp under a popping cork, plastics under a popping cork, as well as I threw some drop shot. You know, plastic on an inline drop shot worked very well.
Mike, it looks like we're going to have southwest wind front coming through. We're going to switch around at some point to the northwest, and we've got almost a foot and a half of tide range. What are some spots or scenarios you should look for or stay away from under those conditions today?
Well, there's nothing really to stay away from. The fish can be anywhere. The bridges have been productive, a lot of sheephead, drum, the occasional speckled trout, and some people, you know, get lucky and find a school of speckled trout and catch 15 or 20. We've been seeing 8 to 10, maybe 15 per trip if you fish and concentrate at the bridges. Same thing, live bait on a drop shot rig or your favorite plastic, gulp, matrix, whatever your preference is. I'm mainly using light colors. The light colors match pogies, and they also match white shrimp. So those have been my go-to recently.
You know, Mike, we call you the forensic fisherman for good reason, and I know you do some examination of stomach contents, and there was a comment made at the commission meeting that redfish really don't eat pogies. What is your response to that?
A redfish love to eat pogies.
I don't know why. Pogies the most nasty-smelling fish that swims, I think.
They're not the easiest to keep alive, but we call them trout candy. I mean, trout just love to eat them. You know, the theory is they've eaten shrimp all summer long, and as we get into fall, the trout want to add weight, and they eat a fish mm-hmm. that provides more fat, and the oil in a poke will provide more fat so that they can fatten up. Now, I don't know if a trout thinks that way. He might just eat everything that he sees, but that's been the theory for many, many years, and they certainly eat pogies.
No doubt. Mike, if somebody wants to reach you, they can find you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We got a nice, convenient link to yours. Give us your direct website and telephone number.
You can find me at AAofLA.com. We're at Angling Adventures of Louisiana on social media, or the telephone is 985-781-7811.
Still no fish guarantee?
Oh, sure. We're going to keep that.
No fish, no pay. Can't beat that.
Yeah, it's worked for 26 years. Why change it now?
How many times have you had that happen?
Oh, four. Four times. Four times and all prior to December of 2004. So we got
wow.
a good streak.
Yeah, you got a 20-year run going. Yeah, don't let it ever be said that Mike Gallo let you get away without paying, because you don't let you get away without fish. That's the key. Mike, have a good time out there in the water, my friend. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Coming up next, yeah, we got some kayakers out there. This is good kayak time. Fish have moved in. They talk about the transition. You don't have to go as far to get them. And the light wind we're going to have at least for this morning, and some places you can tuck into the marshes and catch you some fish. And also the freshwater fishing getting pretty good. Starting to pick up on the sweet fish, the sockeye and the bass. We'll be right back and talk to Butch Ridgedale. He's our paddler reporter this morning on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our paddler's report is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, one of the best fly shops around. They are a specialist. In fact, they've got fly fishing classes and fly tying classes they offer from time to time. You can talk to Justin, and he'll let you know when the next one's scheduled, or you can actually request one. I've also got the paddle sports equipment, including the kayaks and everything that goes along in them, and the latest outdoor gear for fishing the local area in their tackle department. Got some great sharp-looking apparel, so you'll look as good as you fish. Check them out. No Wake Outfitters. Parking is free. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Butch Ridgedale joins us for a kayak report. And Butch, what is the you're active with Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and you know some guys in the Lafayette Club. There's several kayak clubs across the coast. What is the general consensus about this pogie boat issue, or do they even have an opinion about it?
We're not the majority of us, the vast majority. We're not pleased with it. It's we fish Grand Isle a lot, and that's where we see a lot of them down here off the island. And it's just not good for the fishery.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the feeling that a lot of recreational fishermen have, and you know the empirical evidence. You see dead redfish floating, and they're all the big ones. You know, the big spawning fish, and you know the recreational fisherman has been harnessed with a zero limit. It's all strictly catch and release. You can't even keep that one over 27 anymore, but yet they're allowed to catch thousands of pounds of them as bycatch, and some people don't think it's fair. Well, let's talk about some fishing. What's some good kayak suggestions? You know, we got light winds to start off this morning, and from there, where do we go?
We've got people that I know already this morning down Highway 23. Some of the guys are getting an early jump on our next tournament, the Fallen Tide, down at the Empire at Delta Marine. A couple of guys have been going quite frequently and doing really well. Trout have moved up. They're catching flounder. They're catching a few reds. They're doing, you know, doing really well. Out west, been seeing a lot of good reports out of Big Lake. We fished, the Lafayette Club fished Sycamore Point last weekend, and it was rough. The water hadn't still cleared up from the storm we had that Wednesday before. But some nice trout caught, but there weren't great numbers. But this front coming in next week with this cold weather is going to really push the fish on up, and should be good trout fishing, you know, further up the rest of the winter.
You know, Butch, this is a great time of the year for flounder fishing because they're getting ready to move offshore and spawn, and there's probably no more flounders caught than this period here. But unfortunately, it's all catch and release right now. The season's closed through November 30th, so strictly catch and release on the flounders. And some of the kayak events, you know, that had slams where you had to include a flounder, they had to move their tournaments to either get inside or outside of it. I think next tournament for Bayou Coast is at December 6th. Am I right about that?
That's it, the Fallen Tide Tournament.
Yeah, that's a real popular one, too. And what is that one? What is the target species for that one?
It's going to be a slam, trout, flounder, and redfish. Actually, it's one of my favorites. I love going down that way. I don't get to go that often because I live in Lafayette, but when I go that way, I usually go for three or four or 5 days, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. How about some good old freshwater perch jerking? You got a special spot now that it's fall and the temperatures are kind of cooled down in the water, and some people might want to get out and, you know, just bring either a fly rod or just a cane pole and get back to simplicity.
Well, one of the guys that works with me, he's been going down to Sandy Cove over down by Lake Fossey Point, sockeye fishing, and he's doing
he's not catching big numbers, but he's catching some big, big sockeye. Actually, I didn't talk to him yet this morning. I know he went yesterday. He didn't get back with me. So either he did really well and forgot to call me or didn't do good, but I'm pretty sure he did. I'm pretty sure he caught fish. He usually does pretty good, but he's been catching them. He took shiners yesterday. I know that. He said that he's caught a lot of good fish lately on shiners.
Did he say what depth they were at?
He was fishing. Well, here's the thing. He's got a little mud boat, but he put this forward-facing, you know, the sonar on it, and he's been actually using it with a live scope. He's been finding the fish at different depths. Most of them's been, I would say, 4 to 6 feet is where he's been catching a lot of his good fish, but he goes all over the spots down here. He's got some deep holes, just different things that he fishes, but he's really trying to sockeye fish with a live scope, and he's done pretty good with it.
Well, my experience with live scope fishing for sockeye or crappie, whatever you want to call them, it's changed the game. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. It really is.
He showed me some pictures of the screen, and I'm just like, he said, Butch, he said, that's all sockeye. And I'm like, wow.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, another good thing about fishing Lake Fosse Point, if you don't catch any fish, boy, what a beautiful day of scenery you have there. Bring your camera and take some pictures.
It's gorgeous down there. It's a long ride on the levee, but it's gorgeous.
You got it. Butch, thanks so much for the report. As always, we appreciate it. Good fishing to you, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thanks, Don. Y'all have a good one.
All right, there he goes, experienced kayak fisherman Butch Ridgedale. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to tell you about a golf tournament. What has a golf tournament got to do with an outdoor show? You'll figure it out. And also, we got a bad girl this morning, a bad girl and a bad boy. They had a bad deer date night. And we'll tell you their story all next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I got a message to pass along to those of you who are golfers, of which one I am not. Never have played golf because I was always afraid I'd get addicted to it, like hunting and fishing, and there'd be no time to squeeze it all in. But if you are a golfer, let me tell you about the upcoming Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association Charity Golf Tournament, going to be held at the Wetlands Golf Course in Lafayette, April 26th. And why are we talking about it now? Because there are sponsorships available that are limited. You can also qualify for a donation tax deduction on your 2025 taxes. It's going to be a great event. Longest drive, closest to the pin, some special contests. They're going to have a helicopter golf ball drop. You can win a lifetime hunting and fishing license and tons of really good prizes and raffles and awards. Now, this is called a four-person scramble. Now, that sounds like a football play to me. Maybe somebody can text me. What is a four-person scramble? What does that exactly mean in golf? Anyway, if you want to sign up, you go to support, LWAA.org. You can be a sponsor or bring your team for $600. It's going to be a wonderful day out there. And they got a special event that I'd like to witness this. They're going to have an AR-15 that will be specially modified to shoot golf balls down the fairway using 223 rounds. How about that? That's a neat event. Again, it's a charity golf tournament, and if you're familiar with Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association, they do some wonderful things. Like any law enforcement agency, from time to time, their members are in need, and they have stepped up to support them, and, of course, that takes funds. And they do a great job protecting and preserving our natural resources. Very important jobs, very important organization. And here's a fun way. If you're a golfer, if you're not, I imagine you could just go down there and be a spectator or a sponsor. Again, all the details are at supportlwaa.org. All right, right after this quick 10-second pause, we got a bad boy and a bad girl story who went on a bad date night for deer. It's coming up right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Our story begins when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Randy Lanoux and Senior Agent Hunter Pearson. Hunter Pearson, what a great name. No relation to Andrew Pearson, I don't think, our network producer. Anyway, they set up surveillance in a wooded area near Sorrento after legal shooting hours on November the 2nd. They observed one Joseph Stunsman and one Misty Geisenheimer using a spotlight to shine for deer. After hearing two gunshots come from where Stunsman was hunting, They made contact with Stuntsman and Geisenheimer at their residence, where they were in possession of two freshly killed bucks. During the questioning, Stuntsman fessed up to shooting the bucks that night with his 7mm mag. After further investigation, the agents learned that Stuntsman did not tag the deer and that Geisenheimer was deer hunting without possessing a basic license, deer hunting license, or deer tags. Deer hunting in that part of the state was archery-only season at the time they were taken. Consequently, the agents seized the 4-point and the 5-point, donated them to a local charity, lucky them, and for hunting deer during illegal hours, by illegal methods, over the daily limit without basic and deer licenses, and failure to tag or even possess tags, now facing criminal charges of up to $2,500 plus a civil restitution replacement value for the two deer in the amount of $1,600 and up to 120 days in jail, which makes for that really bad date night. For 42-year-old Joseph Stuntsman of Prairieville and 45-year-old Misty Geisenheimer of Sorrento, Louisiana, and our today's bad boy and bad girl of the outdoors. And not that often we get bad girls, but there's been more of them over the years than we've had in the past. I guess that's because they're getting into it more, but they got to get into it the right way, and most do. All right, let's see. We get to a couple of quick texts. I got so many here, I'll never get to all of them. This one says, it sounds like some of the commissioners are not keeping the public's and environment well-being. The public should have more say-so in this issue. Also, they put restrictions on fishermen, so to preserve our fisheries with trout, redfish, and flounder, but they give pogey fishermen free rein. The long-term result could possibly limit our fisheries in more ways than one. Thank you for that text. And I had a question about the name of the companies. One is West Bank Fishery. The other is Daybrook Fishery, and that is part of Omega Protein. Those are the names of the companies that operate the Menhaden boats and spotter planes and those type things. All right, here's one that says, you got to wonder who's getting paid directly or indirectly under the table for this pokey boat vote. I'm going to be sending my comments and contacting my local legislator. Hope someone can challenge the vote in court. It clearly was against the best interests of the state and its people. All right, we're going to come back with Captain Ryan Lambert. We'll get his take on the pokey boat issue, the commission meeting. I think he was there in person. I'm not sure, but we'll check out because he's like Waldo. We never know where he's going to show up. The Plastic Man is next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, is the proprietor of Cajun Fishing Adventures, located in Burris, Louisiana, down Highway 23 near the tip of the Louisiana Boot. And he joins us this morning, but we know not where. Ryan, are you fishing? Or are you hunting with utes or something else?
Well, today I came home. We're going to have a gender reveal for my new grandchild. So I came home. And I'm watching squirrels cutting oak trees right now, and Carly's sitting there, and I'm just watching. She's a hunter. So it's Captain Terry's last day at work today. He's going to retire, and we want to wish him well. He's going to be missed in our lineup. He's been there for probably almost 30 years, so that's a tough one. But everybody's got to hang it up at some time, huh?
Yeah, they sure do. And, boy, Terry's been a good one down there. And, man, he's been with you for a long time and, close relative, he's brother. And yeah. I'd like to see the pile of speckled trout that man has put together over his career. Huh?
Yeah, it would be a big one, that's for sure. The fishing has been off the charts. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's so funny to get on our table. You'll see one guy come in with giant sheephead. Another one comes in with all trout. Another one res. Some of them. Combination, a lot of the flounder has been getting caught, but we it's close season, but it's been great. The white bass are crazy right now. You can catch all you want. It's just been good. White trout, speckled trout, it doesn't matter. I mean, you just almost have to name your game right now. It's that good.
Yeah, there's no place that has a wider variety and mix that fish you can catch on the same alternate cast, catch saltwater, freshwater. It's a great mix down there, especially this time of the year.
Indeed,
what about
indeed.
The ducks? What you got any of you guys going out with the youth this morning, doing any youth duck hunts?
And we were going to do it, but there's just no water. Absolutely no water. We couldn't even build blinds this week. It's just the water was 2.5 foot low. I mean, it's just terrible. So a new tide, we'll do all our work this week and get ready for next weekend. But there's a lot of ducks. You know, we have quite a few ducks in this. I'm glad it's a northwester blowing because it kind of pushes them this way a little more. And, well, they have a lot of ducks, a lot of pintails, a lot of green wings and gadwalls. You know, we got the model ducks and, you know, our wood ducks, they're going now.
Yeah. Hey, were you one of the people that packed the commission meeting this Thursday?
No, I was not. I was guiding that day. And it didn't matter. You know, it's everything comes from the top in this administration, you know, everything. So if you're appointed, and if you're appointed, you take a oath of office. So, you know, the conflict of interest thing, well, that's definitely something to be looked at. But it's so hypocritical what's going on in our state. You know, we've done absolutely nothing for our coast with this administration. We killed the diversions, but yet we've lessened the limits on speckled trout and redfish and took the guide limits away. We have a closed season on flounder, but yet we let another industry go unlimited. You know, the estuary cannot maintain pilfering that's going on. I mean, you just can't just go catch everything unlimited. I mean, we took the hit. We didn't say a word, and nobody said a word since. It's working great. But it goes for everybody. You just can't have special interests, you know, having their way in our state. Everything's got to be equal, especially we lost so much habitat. I mean, our estuary is going away daily, and then doing nothing about it except putting some rocks and stuff. I mean, it's terrible what's going on in our state right now, and there's going to be a time somebody's going to pay.
Well, they're supposed to have a new plan. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm waiting for that. But, you know, I can't tell you how many people went to that commission meeting, came away with the same opinion as you, is that this deal was already solidified. It was all show. It was a done deal before the meeting started. And what that does is it frustrates people from being participants. Then they don't want to go back and say, it doesn't do any good. Why should I take my time off work to go there and give my opinion when nothing happens because of it?
You know, and again, it should be an elected position. You know,
absolutely.
It's you know, because you got to have people that know about the resource. Know, you know, a lot of these guys are very intelligent guys, and some of them are politicians. You know, it's just that hunt on the weekend and such. You need to have people that are knowledgeable about just about any aspect of their region, and it's just
well,
not
anybody making statewide decisions need to be accountable to somebody, and they're not accountable to anybody but the governor. And that's not fair. They should be accountable to the public in some fashion. And I guess by extension, you could say, well, if the governor appoints people we don't like the commission, we can vote the governor out. But how long is that going to take? You know, these things need to be acted upon instantly. You know, you can't let this stuff just sit.
No, you know, because the fact that we're losing our estuary so fast, I mean, it's just like the Coastal Master Plan. Now we're doing the 2029 Coastal Master Plan. In 2029, I might not even be here anymore. You know, we can't take and do everything in 5 and 6 year increments, just like the flyway, the zone thing. They've got that in 5 year increments. You know, how many 5 years do people have? You know, when you're old enough to know and care about all this stuff, you know, within two increments, you're gone.
Yeah. Had some
you know,
comments
when you're playing
on
in the third
too.
Or fourth quarter, you worry about these things.
Exactly. Well, Ryan, thank you for your report and your commitment to Louisiana's resources. Congratulate Terry for us. Been a great career for him. And we'll catch up with you next week. I'm sure you'll be in the blind next week, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be in the blind, buddy.
All right. We'll check with you then. Thank you.
All right, partner. We'll see you.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. Check him out, CajunFishingAdventures.com. Coming back after this, we're going into a duck blind. That's right. Donnie Sampson is with Captain Mike Smith. They're in the duck blinds down in Delacroix for the youth weekend. We'll find out how they're doing right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, today is a youth hunting day in Louisiana in the West Zone, and we take you out live and direct to the duck blind of Mike Smith on Louisiana Duck Hunts, who's hunting with Donnie Sampson and his son. Mike, what's it look like out there right now? I guess it's been shooting hours now, about 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes, maybe longer.
What time? Maybe an hour, but that fog is, we socked in with fog right now, and it was clear when I came down here on the highway. Then all of a sudden, it took us an hour to get from Delacroix to here, where it normally takes 15 minutes. But put it this way, we got one down, but we had a bunch of opportunities.
Good, that's good. The more practice you get, the better you become. But you know what? Once that fog lifts, the amount of teal that you've got down there, I think you're going to have a good hunt today.
We're waiting for that fog to lift, and they're going to be all over the damn place.
But, yeah. Are you seeing any other birds other than teal?
No. 100% teal.
Hmm.
Maybe with
be careful of model ducks out there, too, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen no model ducks. You know, I think the alligators ate them all. But anyway, my cousin has a lease in Cheneyville, which is south of Alexandria. He sent me, I sent you that video.
Yeah, right.
Chock-a-block with ducks and geese. And maybe that cold front will push some big ducks down.
Yeah, but, it looks like the timing might be good. It might push them in, and then it won't be so cold when it actually gets time to get out there and hunt them next weekend.
Right, right. I just hope it's not weather like this. Nothing worse than damn fog, traveling in a boat.
Yeah, yeah. That for duck hunting, you know, and the thing about it is if they are flying, man, they are on you and in your decoys so
exactly.
fast. You don't have time to get ready.
Right.
It makes it kind of interesting
to lift
when it happens.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Those keel
well,
are coming
it looks
in,
like you know we had a really great growing season for the submerged aquatic vegetation. You know, we didn't have any storm surges of any strength at all to get in there. Those ponds have got to be loaded with grass for those ducks, huh?
They are. Every lease I have, when the water's a little high right now, you can only see patches. But when it goes down a little bit, it looks like a green carpet.
Yeah. Well, it's good. How many use do you have in the blinds? Is it just the one?
Yeah, just one. The other little boy couldn't make it. He got sick, and so it's just one.
Yeah. Well, so, good luck to him. And what's he shooting, 20 gauge, 12?
No, 12, Beretta 12 gauge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might shoot my 410 next week.
What advice would you give people for hunting in a fog? I mean, what tips? Is there anything you can do to maybe help your trip be a little more successful? I would say alertness while that fog's there, because they just are in and out of that fog so fast.
Exactly. Like one that just passed over earlier. What is it, about 10 of them? We didn't see them today on top of us, and it was too late.
Yeah.
You just got to be ready in the fog. But you can see right across the pond, you know. We're in a small pond right now, about where we hunted for teal season, you and I.
And, okay, yeah.
John. But once that fog lifts, they're going to be all over the darn place. Just like
well,
an airplane, they get grounded when it's foggy.
How's your bookings look? You got several leases in Delacroix, and, you know, more and more people are not doing their own thing. They're turning to guides like you. It's the same trend that's happened in fishing, and they, you know, because they don't make
right.
that many trips. They want to make them count, and they don't want to make the investment in the decoys and the boats and the leases and everything else. So how's your bookings line up? Do you have some openings?
I have a few openings. My boat itself is booked every day of the season except Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But my other guides, I have availability.
And to find out about that and get some dates and prospective people that want to come out there, tell them how to get you.
504-228-4506, LAduckhunts.com. Oh, there goes one right now. Hold on.
There you go, LAduckhunts.com. If you want the opportunity to hunt with a 5-time state duck calling champion, Mike Smith.
Yeah, tell the ducks that sometimes.
All right, I'm going to go blow some of this fog out of your way. Good luck to you, Mike, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Captain Mike Smith, Louisiana Duck Hunt. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Understand there is a gumbo cooking contest not far from where I am. It's over in Fairhope today. So if you're going to be in that area, you might want to stop by and check out how the Alabama folks cook gumbo, maybe different from us Louisianians. All right, let's see. You got maybe a couple more texts. They want to know who to contact about the pogey issue, a senator or who. Your elected official, whether it be your state representative or your state senator, send them a letter, give them a phone call, Tell them your opinion. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll be back again next week. It'll be the opening of the duck season. We'll probably travel around to some of the duck blinds, possibly have either in person or a statement on this pokey issue from Governor Jeff Landry. If we do, we'll pass that along. So be tuned next week for another edition of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.